do a charitable deed. Not like your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father, who is in the secret place. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He's worthy all the time. Those words are better than anything I would ever have to share. So I contemplated just letting that run for the time. But as God has other things to say, and those can be read in Matthew 5 and 7, which I encourage you to do all the time. We'll continue on with God is put on for tonight's ministration. Hallelujah. Let's turn to Acts in 22. We're going to look at some scripture tonight, God willing, and we'll just see what he has in store for us. Amen. Amen. This has it's been a month since we've been on the air. We replayed some older sermons from some time ago over the last month, and it appears that there's been several people that have been listening to those. So I pray that's been an encouragement to you. And You know, so we're back here in a month ago, the last ministration of the month of July. We were in Acts 22 and looking at a passage of Paul ministering giving his account to the Jews, and he's recounting what happened to him when he was convicted to become a Christian. And he asked a question in verse 10 that we always need to be asking. And we're going to expound on that a bit tonight. And we'll go from there. So he said, passage, after Jesus said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And verse 9 says, and they that were with me saw the light, and they were afraid, but they didn't hear the voice that spoke to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said, arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. And so we can see here, saints, that God has appointed things for his people to do. I don't have Paul's calling, and you don't either, but you do have yours, and I have mine. And as unique as your fingerprint is to your body and mine is to me, and as unique as the DNA in my body, there's only one of me, and there's only one of you. And as unique as that is the same uniqueness that God put into your appointment. But just the same, saints, as the DNA that you were given has all the possibilities and potential to be exactly what that was created to be. Very few times do we obtain that level of perfection. I can recall back when I was into sports, that frequently there would be someone that would go to a training session and they would rate them and they would have so much potential. Sometimes they would say, this is a Hall of Fame caliber athlete. And more times than not, they ended up being what they called a bust, someone that didn't obtain the hype that they were given. So the same can be in our DNA. I mean, someone can have a mind to do math and science or writing or all kinds of things, saints. We have certain things that we were given through our genes that make us better at some things than others. And within us, there might be the ability to be a great scientist. As a matter of fact, there might have been some people born of African descent in the 1800s, 1850 Georgia, that could have been great scientists. But because of their circumstance and situation, they never achieved the potential that was within their mind because they were kept from being free and being educated. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't there. It wasn't a part of who they could have been. They were just kept from it because of wicked devices of men. But that was still within their DNA. They did not achieve their potential. And in this case, it wasn't any fault of their own. But I do hope that you understand that circumstances can keep you from reaching potential. And some of them can be self-imposed. For instance, there might be a person who has a great mind to do some activity. Maybe it's sports, maybe it's again, an engineer, maybe it's a pilot, different things. We can all be different things and have different skills to do different things. But let's just say that that person decides they're going to get into alcohol or drugs or crime, and they never achieve their potential because they can't focus on it. Doesn't this sound like the parable of the talents? Now, there'll be some that overachieve and maybe do more than they should have because of effort. But saints, it's the same with our spiritual walk. Amen. It's the same with our spiritual walk. God has put in appointed things for you to do. And while you may not be able to overachieve those, you can do everything that you were told to do. And that was what was said of Moses, that he was faithful in his house. And as Christ was in his, that's about as high as it gets. But even so, we know that Moses made some mistakes. Saints, one of the reasons we know the Bible is true is because the accounts of people like Moses, the accounts of people like David, the accounts of people like Peter, even Paul, there isn't a person in the New Testament or the Old that didn't make mistakes. There's hints of doubt even in John the Baptist. And John fled. The Apostle John fled. Paul did some curious things throughout his ministry. He was told not to go to Jerusalem, yet he demanded to keep on going. Peter, of course, denied Christ, but later on was rebuked by Paul because he was not associating with the Gentiles. Elijah, after having fire fall from heaven, fled from Jezebel. And we know about David. You see, saints, that if this was a man-made book, these flaws would not show up. Yet God is trying to show us something. That man is, no matter what state he finds himself in, Moses, Elijah, Peter, or Paul, you find flaws. And that's where we are outside of Christ, completely helpless. And so the only hope we have of obtaining that which God has for us is by continually walking in his steps, right by his side, day and night, 24/7, 365. That's the only hope we have, because if we ever take a break, then we won't obtain it. I want you to turn to Joshua and just see this. Book of Joshua. Now, right after we have this miraculous Joshua chapter 6, Jericho and marching around and all you know, the walls of Jericho falling down. And I say this as a warning, saints, to us all. If you ever have a great victory, buckle up, because it's right after those great victories that we can always see a laziness set in that leads to an immediate defeat. So let's turn. Joshua 6 is Jericho. I want you to turn to this is Joshua. This is 7. Joshua 7. And right after this miraculous thing of Jericho, we have chapter 7, verse 2. It says, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Avon, on the east side of Beth-El, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto them, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Chebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Well, God is the one that gave the battle plan for Jericho. And if you go through the book of Joshua, he gives the battle plan for every battle they win. And he keeps changing up the strategy. And this will continue to be the victorious position of the Israelites through Joshua, Judges, and Samuel, and Kings. You will find that God is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord of this army. And he's saying, do this and do that, and go left or right, or hang back here, or divide your forces, or do a sneak attack. Very rarely is it the same just go slug it out kind of battle. But they didn't ask God what to do here. I believe had they done so, he would have said, you've got a problem in the camp. You're not going to be able to go forward and be victorious here. You've got an accursed situation going on. And you've got to take care of that, because we've got messages that deal with this. But when one part of the body of Christ is in sin, it's impacting all. And that is true. So we need to be careful there. But the point of this message is that Joshua nor his group, lieutenants, think about asking God what to do. And they're like, just take a few. It's a small town. We just knocked out the world champions. We just knocked out the world champions. And now we're just playing this little school from, regional directions in the name school. And it's not a big deal. Let's send the B team. Let's send the C team. Or the F team. It will mop up. And then they lost. Handily. They lost more men in this battle than all of Israel lost fighting all of Jericho. That's what I believe. It doesn't give a casualty count in the Battle of Jericho. But it doesn't appear they had any. So they weren't asking God what they should do. You see this, the importance of what Apostle Paul is saying in Acts 22 and verse 10. What should I do? Well, it's not that much longer. That we get into the same situation. Go on to Jeremiah, and let's see, we've got chapter 9, in the Gibeonites. Verse 3 says, And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, because they did come back and repent and take care of the situation, and they did it according to what God said, and they ended up winning. So they heard all these things, and then they did work wilily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went up to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make a league with us. Make ye a league with us. This is one of those interesting things about the King James Bible that you may not know, and I'll just take just a second to explain. But back in the day, these actually weren't words of Old English. They made them up to put them in the King James Bible. So ye and thee and those kinds of words weren't a part of English. They made them up. And so when you see the words thee and thine and thou, it means just one, singular. It's a singular. And I'll explain this really quick. Thee, thine, and thou, singular. Ye, you, and your are plural. So in English, the you is could be singular, could be plural. Well, it's not that way. And I've just been studying a lot on King James Version here lately, and I had forgotten about this piece. And it's really quite interesting, but those words didn't exist in English either. They made them up to denote the difference between singular and plural. And you might say, well, what's the difference? Well, I mean, just look at John chapter 3 and verse 4. And it says, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, so that is the singular, I say unto you, Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he was saying that singular. Singular, that's to you, Nicodemus. Yet he said to ye, then that would have been to everyone. And there's actually some other, there's some good, a good passage, saints, and I'm just taking this time because I think it's good for us to know. When Peter denies Jesus, there's definite things that God is trying to teach us through that. And they're a blessing to me. I hope they will be to you too. But let's just go to that. And let's go Matthew. Amen. The Bible really is a wonder. It really is a wonder. Matthew. And there's a woman with an alabaster box. It must not be Matthew. Give me just a second. I by God's grace, this will be a blessing. So I'm going to take some time and look it up. I hope you don't mind. And it has to do with the sifting of Peter. Yeah, it's Luke. I'm sorry. So Luke 22. So these passages, those ye's and these, they're not just old-fashioned. They're actually there for a purpose. And they weren't Old English. They were made up specifically for the Bible. That is my understanding. Luke 22 and 31. It says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Now that you, saints, is a plural. That is a plural. He's saying that's like to all of the disciples. That's a distinctive thing. If we're not reading carefully, then we'll just let that pass by. But he's actually saying Satan hath desired to have all of you, that he may sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that's singular, I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith, Peter, will not fail, and that when you, Peter, are converted, you can strengthen your singular brethren. And so, as the King James has tried to make the distinction that is there, that would otherwise be lost, that the language that's found in the original is very specific to who Jesus is talking about, and it gives you some greater context into what's going on. And of course, this isn't in every verse, and you can read it generally and get the idea. And so this isn't a critical thing, but it does add a richness to what the Lord was saying in this situation, that the Satan wants to sift you all. He wants to have you. He wants to sift you all. But I prayed for you, Peter. And this is exactly what he was saying. God is saying, I prayed for you specifically, Peter, that you'll have faith. And then when you're converted, now those are interesting things to say, then go and strengthen your brethren. Hallelujah. So I hope that was, somewhat of a blessing. But back to Joshua. Hallelujah. I got a little too far. Joshua. So this people of Gibeah, they were acting wilily. That isn't an easy word to say. And this is Joshua chapter 9. And they said, they went to Joshua to the camp at Gilgal, and they said, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye, plural, a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure, all of you, ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? Plural. And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? And from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did in the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took out of our provision, out of our houses, on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and moldy, and these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, there be rent. And these are garments, and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And that being the key sentence. They asked not counsel of the Lord. What they needed was to be able to say, what shall I do? Lord, what shall I do? One of the most important questions to ask, and even more important, the next most important thing, a better way of saying it, is to have it answered. And then the next most important is you actually doing it. I actually heard someone say just today, it was actually a blessing to me, said that if you ever get off track in your spiritual walk, then what you need to do is go back to the last thing God told you to do and then go do it. And I found that to be true. More times than I would want. But that's generally what we see in the biblical record, and we see in our own personal history, that if we ever get off track, the very best thing for us to do is to go back to the last thing that God told us to do. And then we go do it. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's important, saints, that we understand what it is that God wants us to do. Let me back up just a second, because it's important enough to go over again. It's important, saints, that day by day we're living in such a close relationship with Christ that we're constantly saying, God, what would you have me to do? That's where you find abundant life. And if we aren't living in that close relationship with Christ, there is no abundant life. We need to be living in that close relationship with Christ. That what would you have me to do is kind of a minute-by-minute thing. And even right before we even say something we shouldn't, Christ steps in by the power of his Holy Ghost and says, don't say that. It's not according to my word. And you don't, and you move on. And you save yourself some trouble, no doubt. So that's where we have to start. And second is we have to know what it is that God wants us to be doing. And then the last thing is, saints, we need to actually do it. Those are the important things. Amen. And going back to Acts 22, we see that this is what happened to Paul. Is he was told, he said, what would you have me to do? And this is verse 10 again. And the Lord said, arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. And so that's what we find there. If we find the, if we go to the book of John, see, we see something that I have covered before on this line. And this is at the wedding in Cana in chapter 2 of John. We're just kind of going all over the place. No real agenda tonight, just kind of talking on what God has put on my heart to say unto you all. This is verse 5, the wedding at Cana. They've run out of wine. Mary comes and says, hey, they've run out of wine. And Jesus is like, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour's not yet come. I don't know these things, saints. Obviously, this isn't written in the Word, but I believe that there was some stuff that Jesus had done. This says it's the first miracle. But somehow, I mean, Mary is wanting him to do something about it, and it's clearly not like they have a lot of money. So there's something going on here. I don't know what, but that Mary is trying to get him to do something, and he's like, I don't really want to. But he does anyhow. And so all that's interesting to me. I really can't tell you any more than that. I don't have more revelation than just that it's interesting to me. But what I do know is the power of verse 5 says, his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Amen. And that's, we're the servants. We are the servants. Whatsoever God says unto us, we need to do it. That is the that's the gospel. So as we continue on tonight, I want us to turn to Romans. And we're going to look at verse 5. Romans chapter 1. We'll start verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh. That means, here he is saying that Jesus Christ, which is God in heaven, made of the natural seed of David, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So that's a mouthful, but what he's saying is that God became a man. He was declared to be the Son of God. He was resurrected from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness. And that is just trying to, on a deeper level, say what actually happened in that tomb. That the Spirit of holiness said there has been an injustice here. There is an innocent man that has died when he has not sinned. And the wages of sin is death. this man was unjustly put to death. This man was on track to the tree of life. And because of the spirit of holiness, this is unjust. And this one deserves to come back. And because of all those things, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now you can put your calling in that apostleship. But the main thing I want to point out is that you've received grace, meaning in receiving your calling. We receive grace in apostleship or the calling for a purpose, for obedience to the faith among the nations. For the sake of your name? No, his name. And in this one passage, we see why we get it wrong so many times. Because we either do it for our name, or we do it, we say grace isn't for obedience. We don't walk in our calling. We neglect grace. And think that God is going to give us special privilege because of the things that we do. We can end up on any side of this. And there's only one way that's right. And it has to do with faith. Saints, above everything, we have to keep a good understanding of grace and faith and works. Grace and faith and works. And that passage, I believe, is Ephesians. If we'll turn there, you can keep your place in Romans. We might come back. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, by grace you're saved through faith. Through faith. You say, well, that's simple, brother. Yeah, I've heard that forever. But we can't lose sight of it, saints. Abraham's righteousness was appointed to him because he believed. Sometimes, saints, we can continue to do works, the same works, but they're no longer based out of faith. And in that case, they become nothing. They're just really nothing. But if we continue with a good conscience and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, which is this day by day, what would you have me to do, Lord? That opens up the grace that saves, because we're saved by grace. We can't save ourselves. It's an unmerited favor. But it is through faith. You can't access that grace any other way. It is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that he says something and you believe it. Counted as righteousness, appointed unto you, and you're right with God. That's a true faith. Now, we oftentimes say, well, I believe. I want you to be thinking about it this way. When we say we believe, it's got to be all in, all the whole bet put in with Jesus. Let's say all the things that amount to your life are chips on the table, like you're gambling. All chips need to say, God, they're all yours. You put them where you see fit. They've all got to be in his court. That's the faith I'm talking about. If you're holding one chip, that's not the faith that I'm talking about. Holding on to some piece of it is not faith. It's a just-in-case faith, which is what Ananias and Sapphira had, which is why they ended up dying. Because they had a just-in-case faith, I'm going to hold some back because I'm just not sure that I can trust God with the whole of it. That is not the kind of faith I'm talking about. That is not a saving faith. The faith that I'm talking about is an all-in faith. It's an all-in faith. And that is the faith that gets the grace and the righteousness appropriated unto us, that is a saving faith. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's nothing that apart from faith, a person can keep the whole of the law and try and do everything in here, in this book, and it won't benefit them any. And that is what Galatians is talking about. It's like there's no profit in circumcision apart from faith. Curiously enough, after Paul wrote that letter, he had Timothy circumcised because of the Jews. Was that wrong? I actually don't know the answer, but I know that he did it, and it's a interesting part of the Gospels. Is that Paul just wrote Galatians, and they had the council, Acts 15, and then he goes on, and some Jews come up, and he says, Timothy, get circumcised. So it wasn't so much that he was saying it's wrong to be circumcised. It's just like the Jews at that point were saying you have to be circumcised to be saved. In order to be saved, you've got to do these things. And it was out of order. It was out of order, saints. That's the important thing. Put all chips in. And then they do what God says. And that's exactly what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and 10 say. So it's not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So yes, out of faith, we will do good, but if we ever lose the faith portion, then all of the works become nothing. If we start to take some of that back and we're not doing these things because God said them, but because of some other reason, then our faith is in vain. It's not real faith. If we're doing these things for some other reason, then it isn't to God's glory. It's to that reason's glory. And we have to be careful of that. So we can continue on in Romans. In chapter 5. You see, saints, if our faith doesn't lead us into the right actions. Yes, and this is the way we'll end this portion. Amen. Then it's not a real faith. Faith is going to lead us into action. Hallelujah. Chapter 5 of Romans says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're justified by faith. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's what I've been trying to illustrate. That faith, the grace is out there. But grace, obviously not everyone is living in God's grace. How do you access it? By faith in that he's able to do what he said he was going to do. Hallelujah. May his name be praised forever because he is able to do all that he said he was going to do. Believe in him, nothing doubting. Because there's saving faith in that. Nothing doubting, saints. Nothing, nothing, nothing doubting. When we doubt, that's holding some back. That isn't saving faith. We have to believe that he is and that he is able to do exactly what he said he was going to do. That means if his word says something, you say, well, yes, I believe you, Lord. That's it. Hallelujah. That is saving faith. That is the faith that opens the blind eyes. Hallelujah. It's a precious word. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand in rejoicing hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience. Patience experience, experience hope, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And we could continue going on, but I want to turn to the last chapter of Acts 25, 26, 28. It's 28. And as far as the scripture portion of this goes, this is where we're going to cut it for tonight. If you read, most of the books of the Bible, there's a beginning and there's an end. Jesus, he was crucified. He rose again, gave the disciples some instruction, and then that was it. That's the end of that. Then we get to Acts, and at the end of Acts, Paul goes to Rome, and he's going to testify before Caesar, but we don't ever get to that point. It says that he ministered to some Jews in verse 27, and they didn't hear it, and they kind of stopped fellowshipping with him because he said some sharp words, and that's okay. And that's verse 28, and then we kind of get, so he kind of gives the sharp words, and verse 29, it says that when he said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And then we have two more verses in all of Acts. So we've gone through this great narrative of what the apostles did, after Jesus gave the Great Commission and what they did with it and the Holy Ghost. And we have Peter and some incredible stories. And saints, you just have to read them closely, because there's a lot of great things that happened even in just one or two verses. A lot of these cities they visit, it just happens in one or two verses, but you can really pull a lot out of them. Verse 30 says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. The end? No, it's like it's not an ending. And I believe my own view, saints, is that's kind of because this part of the story isn't over. Paul's story wasn't even over there. But it's just saying that, so Paul, how did this end? The way that it should be for us even now. Receive all that come in and preach the kingdom of God, and teach those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding you. That's the time we're in right now. So this isn't over. This part of the Bible, while there's no more Bible to be written, it continues on in the lives of saints through history, some of which we can read about. But what about you? What about me? It's also a part of this story. While ours won't be called Acts of the Apostles, it should be called the Acts of those who believe in Jesus Christ. And how long of a book would that be? But if we don't have things to write down, saints, then we're not plugged in. So I want these words for us to consider, because it is by grace that you're saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, so that no man could boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do acts. To do acts. We are his workmanship, saints, to complete the book of Acts. Until we get to the book of Revelation, I'm going to submit unto you that this book continues on. Even though it's not a part of this Bible that we can hold in our hands, that you are a part of it, or you're supposed to be a part of it, and me as well. But if we are not acting, then we are not plugged in by faith, receiving the grace to do what we're supposed to do. Because this is what God would have us to do, what we find in the end of Acts. This is what God would have us to do. Hallelujah. And if we just go out and start doing it of our own accord, it will also fail. So what would you have me to do? Remember the seven sons of Sceva when it comes to this. They went out and did the action, but they weren't fueled by the right source, and so they ended up in failure. So there's only one way to victory here, saints, and it's through Jesus Christ, faith in his most precious name, holding nothing back, believing in him no matter what. Come what may, I believe in you, Lord. Then you receive the grace to obey and to do, to will and to do. And we could continue on for a long time on these lines. Almost 2 years ago, it was on my heart to start this broadcast and do Wednesday night prayer, as it's kind of been the tradition for several saints to gather on Wednesday nights and pray. And for 2 years, this is something that we've been doing almost every week, hardly missed any. And I think reviewing the stats today, there's been several thousand people that have listened to these over the past couple of years, and I believe on some level it's been a blessing. Heard from a handful of people. Some have asked questions and never gotten back. Some have been more regular in corresponding. And so I bless you for that. And for those of you who've never reached out, that's okay too. This isn't about being heard from. This is about being encouraged in the Lord. We also, as opposed to this, in addition to what we have on Blog Talk, we have an even greater history of messages that have been given over the past, in some cases, truly 15 years or so. Some of them go back that far. And that is found on our website, www.gatheringofthesaints.com. And you can find many, many years of material there. So There is enough actual material, saints, that if one wanted to, they could listen to things probably for about 3 or 4 years straight on a once a week basis. There's a lot of material out there that one could access if they wanted to. All encouragements. And while the Spirit of God is active and always giving new things, a lot of the things are similar. When it comes to this last month and saying, God, what is it that you would have me to do? It was put upon my heart that there were other things that God wanted me to do than to continue getting on every Wednesday night and doing this out of a habit every week. And this is something that I felt that God was asking me to do, and I wanted to take the time out to ensure that it was right. And indeed, I do have tremendous peace that this is something that God doesn't want me to do out of a habit on a weekly basis. That isn't to say that we are not going to get on again. That isn't to say anything of that matter. But it is to say that as far as a weekly routine, I will not be leading anything there. There might be another brother that says I'm actually led to do that, and if so, I praise God for that. But it's not the way that I'm being led right now in this time for the, you know, at least as far as God has told me. And while I don't have something specific that God is asking me to do, I do believe that that God is faithful, and that will be coming in time. And so this is what I'm telling you all. If what was happening the past month is encouraging to you, and going to the website and retrieving messages is not convenient, it's very easy for me to upload old messages and continue to source those through. It's not really a problem, and I can do that. As God leads, there are other brethren that minister, not just me, and there are, and I'll get on as God leads. And that those will be just as they won't be necessarily on a schedule. If you want to get on, go to the Gathering of the Saints website and say, let me know. Give me your contact information, and by God's grace, I can set up a distribution list and just send that out and say, hey, I believe that God willing, we're going to have a ministration on such and such a time. You can listen live, or you can just check back from time to time and see if there's new things there. The one thing that I would encourage you with is to just say that the things that we have ministered tonight are eternal, and I want you to focus on them first. And then if you've got those things in place, then you too will be doing things soon, if you're not now. And if you are, then, you know, praise God, then do take care of these things that you don't let them slip. Because this is the foundations of the faith. And sometimes we get so tripped up in doing other things that we forget powerful that saving faith, that believing faith is, that Jesus Christ, that God, our Heavenly Father, is absolutely trustworthy with everything that we have. Amen. We're coming up on, in the end of September, what we declared on this program a few years ago, or the beginning of this year, as the year of Jubilee, the year of victory. at that time not really knowing, and I still suppose there's a lot of debate around this topic, and so there's people that have looked into it at any rate that say that this next year is the year of Jubilee, and it happens to be the 70th of all of them. Maybe they're right and maybe they're wrong. The point that I bring up and keep saying that is that this year has been a significant year for me, and I pray for you, in that we started off this year with lots of fasting for God to break through, and God did so. And God did so. This has been a miraculous year in a literal fashion, so I thank God for that. And I don't believe that it has, that I believe that it has everything to do with us deciding to dig deep. Because that is what God said to me many years ago, that if I was going to get what God had, I must learn to dig deep. And it hasn't been easy. There's been a lot of obstacles. But through it all, God has given me the grace to continue digging deep and deeper. And saints, that's what we must all do always. And I must continue to do. We must always dig deeper into our Lord. And when we do, there is no way can ever win. Saints, there's a lot of prayer books out there about, you know, spiritual warfare, and I think those are good things to pray. But the best defense against the arrows of the enemy is righteous and holy living. Because as we see in the story of Balaam, that as Israel is walking right, there is nothing that can harm them, for there's no iniquity to be found. And that way you can know that every trouble, every trial that you go through, God is leading you through it. And in that case, as we read in Romans, it's just fine. We'll be just fine. So this little walk through history is just to say that God has a purpose, and we're a continuing part of it. And we have to continue to find that purpose and walk in it. So I thank God for everything that he does, and I have nothing but excitement for what God has ahead. And just wait for that to unfold day by day. But until then, I'm going to ask what he would have me to do. Listen until I find out what that is, and then by God's grace and his grace alone, I'm going to do it. There's been some times that I believe I've heard God say, these are the things that I want you to do. And the more that I learn myself, the more that I pray for God's grace and I say, Lord God, you know what's inside of me. You know how I'm capable of messing up your plan. Oh Lord God, give me the grace to overcome my failure so that I can do a job that's befitting you. Because when it comes down to it, saints, the human race track record is not good. So we need grace to accomplish that which God has for us. And so, saints, that's what's on my heart to say. Please feel free to communicate through the website, email, whatever, however you feel led. This isn't a goodbye, resigning or anything like that. This is just how God is leading. I'm not going to be leading any Wednesday night for the foreseeable future. I won't be. Maybe someone else will. But that's how it is. I'm not going anywhere. Still around. Want to encourage you however it can see fit. I've been called to teach and to preach, and that's what I know for now. And so I'll continue doing that by God's grace. Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer, saints, and we will pick it up wherever God leads next time. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. I pray, O Heavenly Father, just a few things tonight. I pray, number one, you'd forgive us of our sins today. Cleanse us from unrighteousness. I pray, Lord God, for grace to trust in your name all in, nothing doubting. I pray for grace, O Heavenly Father, to trust you more through every valley and every hilltop, as there's danger in both. I pray, O Heavenly Father, for grace to fulfill that which you've asked me to do, as I have failed you more than I've succeeded. And I've learned, Lord, that I can only by your grace please you. O Heavenly Father, I pray, O Heavenly Father, that I would walk in the acts that you've appointed me to do, and that I would be faithful to fulfilling them completely. For I have said unto you in words that I will be a living sacrifice, that I will lay down my cross daily. But words are just words, O Lord. I pray, O Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that they would be indeed and in truth. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for all these saints that listen to this program, to this ministry. I pray, Lord God, that you would embolden them and empower them to do that which is glorifying to your kingdom. I pray, Lord God, that they would be walking in truth and bringing glory unto your most precious name. I pray that for all of us, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, let us bring glory unto your most holy and precious name. Glory be to God. O Lord, you've called us into the most precious calling. Let us fulfill it. Not being distracted, but realizing that listening to your voice is the most important thing that we do every day, every day. The most important thing is listening to your voice. For who knows if you can call us like Philip into a desolate place only to find a hungry soul that wants to know the truth. Oh Lord, how many times have there been those people, but we've not been willing to listen? You said, look up, for the fields are already white to the harvest. I just need laborers. Oh Lord, we've called ourselves laborers, but have we been too caught up in our own things to actually hear the call. Forgive us and give us the grace to not fail you any longer, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. Wow. Amen. I just thank God for who he is and what he's done. I pray that he reveals himself anew to you. This isn't an old story, even though it was written a long time ago. It's renewed day by day in Jesus' name. May this story be new to you today in Jesus' name. May there be a refreshing in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. May all that which is stale be broken away, and may all the fallow ground be broken up, and may new seeds be planted that grow into a great and marvelous harvest in the mighty name of Jesus. This is my prayer for all of us in Jesus' name. That new plant and new fruit will be growing in your life in Jesus' name. As we finish this year that we started out January 1st of this year, saying this is the year of victory, may it indeed be the year of victory for you in the mighty name of Jesus. This year is not over. There's still much to do, still much ground to obtain. Let us not be as Joshua and Co were that stopped before they were finished. It's not Joshua's fault because he got too old and he died. But the group that came in after were not able to finish the work. Let us not be like them, saints. Let us grow bold and finish this year strong, and then we'll start again next year. We'll take it one day at a time, and we will overcome. In Jesus' name, I my love to you. That's a sincere thing. I do love you and pray for you that you will be an overcomer in Jesus' name. Feel free to reach out, and until next time, we will sign off. In Jesus' name, amen.